Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for March 14th, 2022. Hey, Karen. Oh, I'm trying to get so much better at this. Karen is a cash flow cat who teaches, whose side business is teaching writers. She's a coach for writers and she has several different programs. And what's your question?
I love your podcast with Miata. So happy every time there's a new episode of that. And the topic of partnerships was really interesting. And just wanted to get more about criteria for partnerships, because I find that in that relationship, depending on what it is and how experienced I am in that type of business situation, I am like, well, these parts are good enough. And then, you know, this is working and it would be really hard to find someone else to do this. And so I just want to hear more about your evolution of your perspective about that in terms of, no, a partnership needs to be this and this, it has to have this criteria and feel this way. Like, what is the balance that you've been able to achieve between, well, this is workable, or no, it needs to feel much better than this?
And how are you defining, like, what type of partnership are we talking about? I just want to make sure, are you talking about an employee situation like that, colleague business partnership?
Well, to be specific, I have a property manager that I'm not sure about that. That I would like it to feel more like a partnership than it does.
What does it feel like now?
Oh, it feels like she represents the tenants. And I pay her.
For her to advocate for the tenants.
Yeah.
And was that the balance? So this is an interesting thing. So you're employing her. So you are her boss, and you want, when you say you want it to feel more like a partnership, what you mean is you want to feel that she is supporting your agenda with that project. Is that correct?
Right. Because based on the fact that I'm paying her, that she would represent me.
Okay. And was that balance off from the beginning, or did it slowly kind of slide into where, like, she's much more on quote unquote their side?
It still appears that she's advocating for me, because she'll agree with me. And then she'll go back and get their take and then represent their take like we never had an agreement.
Oh, okay. And how long into this did that start to, you noticed, like, whoa, a year into you guys work? Like, how long have you worked together? And then how long into your time together did that start to feel evident?
I guess it's been 5 years.
Okay.
It probably was like a year into it, I guess.
Uh-huh. So when you started to notice, how did you address it?
Not effectively.
Yeah, but did you just mention something to her? Did you, like,
it's kind of like I just have to make a case for my case, and I feel like I'm just standing my ground on my own.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it just sort of gets resolved. But the, you know, this might be something where I already know the answer to this, but I'm just trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Because,
well, what I'm interested in, just before I, like, offer guidance is what have you already tried with her? Like, did you sit down and be like, this, like, can you not do this? Or why do you feel the need to do this? Or what's going on here? I've noticed a shift of how you're approaching this. I don't feel as supported. Have you had that conversation with her?
Yeah, that she doesn't agree with that, because in the initial conversation, she does support me and she does say, oh yes, that's what we'll do. Okay, great. And then she completely flips.
Yeah.
Because she's
but have you pointed... Okay. So when there's an issue with anyone, there's two layers to an issue. There's the surface layer. And I don't mean surface by like unimportant. I just mean, there's the thing that's alerting you to a problem, like the surf, like, oh, we had this discussion. You said, yes, you go over there and then you, you know, and then, and we're talking about like the lighting system or something. That's the issue that you're noticing. So there's the issue of the moment, and there's the ongoing dynamic. Mm-hmm. The dynamic, no matter what the issue is, you agree with me, then you go hear their side, and then you come back as an advocate for them, and I'm not feeling supported in what I'm paying you for. That's the dynamic. Uh-huh. And what most people do is they just hop, they just go along going, okay, addressing the issue. And okay, well, we got to, no, I think this is what we need to do with the lighting. So can you just do that? And then the lighting gets fixed. And then a month later, it's like the plumbing. And then you're like, oh, I got to deal with this, the go back and forth with her on the plumbing issue. It's like, well, you could continue that for 5 years, or you can address the actual dynamic that mm-hmm. keeps occurring again and again. And the dynamic, no matter what the specifics are, mm-hmm. is that number one, whenever you hire someone, they are there to make your life easier. If they are not making your life easier, what's the point? So that always for me is like criteria number one. 90%, you have to be making my life easier. Number two is I am hiring you to support my agenda, my ideas, my plan, my direction. I'm not hiring anyone to steer this ship. If you hired her as a consultant, or like when my clients hired me as an organizer, they couldn't lead themselves through the organizing project. I was the leader through the organizing project. That's why they were paying me. But you're hiring her to carry out like your wishes. So she is a subordinate rather than a colleague. Mm-hmm. You're not, you're open to her input, but you actually just want her to execute your your agenda. So on those two things, she's not actually fulfilling her job. She's making your life hard. And she is not just executing your agenda. Mm-hmm. So when you first start to see that happening, mm-hmm. that's when you would be like, okay, wait, we need to have a conversation, because the underlying dynamic of this relationship is not actually working. So, and you want to address, and I'm not just talking to you, Karen, of course, I'm talking to everybody listening to this far into the future. You want to address the first red flag. Mm-hmm. The first time, it's not like you have to have a serious conversation, but you have to note it. You have to be like, okay, well, that's not working. And then you request them to make what I like to call course correction. Okay, we're going to mm-hmm. course correct on this. And this mm-hmm. is how I'd like you to do it. And then they're on mental probation in your mind of like, okay, well, let's see if they make an adjustment, take the note, as they would say in the acting world. And then you see if they do or don't. Mm-hmm. And then if another red flag pops up, then you're like, okay, I see a pattern. Third red flag. Okay. This isn't working. I don't want to keep dealing with red flags. That's not making my life easier. So then she has a choice of getting on board or getting off the bus, to mix my metaphors. So now, though, in this particular situation, it's been several years of you guys just kind of going back and forth and back and forth on the surface issues without addressing the underlying dynamic. So the question right now facing you is there enough, like you said, is there enough going right that you're like, I don't want to go through the hassle of replacing her? Or is it time to replace her? And so where are you at with that? Because...
Well, I really like looking at it that way, the issue of the moment and the underlying dynamic. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I have brought this up with her. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a gaslighting that happens. Mm-hmm. Where she's not, you know, doesn't understand what I'm saying, doesn't occur to her that way. She's not mm-hmm. able to even see it. And mm-hmm. so then there is no course correction for that.
Yeah. Then she's not your people. Yeah. She can't see where you're at. You guys aren't on the same page. Mm-hmm. And which means you will always have this problem.
Right.
So then it's like, okay, am I willing to put up with the problem?
Yes.
Or do I want to make a change? But let me stop for a minute. So to address something in the general sense, when you bring up an issue with someone and you bring it up, you think you've had the conversation, you're hoping they get it, and then they show you, you either didn't get it or you just willfully don't want to do it. It's of no use to have a conversation about adjusting a dynamic without having two things clear. One clear for the other person and one clear for yourself. And the thing that the other person needs to have clarity on is how you're going to evaluate them. So we're having this discussion and then you go, okay, these are the things I'm going to look for over the course of the next month. And so we both know how I'm evaluating you. To take it down to like basics, it's like when you tell mothers come into the room or fathers, parents come into the room with kids and they're like, clean up your room. Oh, I'm going to be back in an hour. I want this thing clean. And then they leave and the kid's like, all right. So they shove stuff under the bed and just shove stuff into the closet. And then the parent comes back in the room. And they're like, you didn't clean up. It's just under the bed. Like, but if the parent had walked into the room and said, I'm going to be back in an hour and this room needs to be clean. I'm going to look for these five things. Are your clothes folded and hung or in a drawer? Is there nothing under your bed? Can I see the top of your desk? Like, give them some criteria so they know how you're going to come in and evaluate them. Mm-hmm. So when you're having a discussion about dynamic, it's like, so here's what I'm going to evaluate you on. The next time I ask you to do something, I'm going to write it down so that you and I are both on the same page about exactly what's happening. So it's not just lost in verbal miscommunication. And then once that's done, you can certainly ask me any questions for clarification, but otherwise I don't actually want to hear feedback on that. Like I need this done regardless of how the tenants feel. They can certainly bring something to my attention, but they don't need to go through you because your job is not to be the conduit. I did not hire you to be the conduit of communication between me and my tenants.
Actually, that's almost her only job.
That is her job?
To be the conduit. Yeah, okay. I don't have any direct communication with them.
So then, okay. Then, but you're like, you're on their side. So then maybe the evaluation is when I ask you to do something, go back, you can bring me back the feedback, but I mean, then you have to explain to her how you want her to deliver that feedback. Is it that she's just refusing to do what you say? Like, or is she just being like, if you disagree with her, she kind of repeats and repeats and repeats, like, but the tenants want this and they want this and I'm going to.
No, it's not that. It's like, I'll say, let them know that, you know, when we renegotiate the price, it's like, mm-hmm. here's the new price. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, that's accurate. That's the right amount to charge.
Uh-huh.
And then she'll go back to them and I want her to just sell them that price because she's in sales. She's a realtor. Mm-hmm. And so then she'll, you know, come back and say, no, they only want to pay this much.
Okay.
And it's like, so it's always a coming back. And I'd rather have her just say, anyway, say, okay, thank you. We already agreed they're paying.
Okay. So then you would say, so I don't have the bandwidth for the back and forth. This is the price. If someone doesn't want to meet that price, let them go. Go find mm-hmm. another person. So clearly tell her how you want this experience to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're looking for that to be the experience. You tell her the price, she goes out and finds you a tenant for that price. End of discussion, no discussion, no negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
So now she clearly knows, oh, okay, well, that's what is expected of me. So when you're addressing a dynamic, you want to let them know clearly how you're going to evaluate them, what you're looking for, how you will be pleased with their performance. Because sometimes uh-huh. people don't know what's pleasing or not pleasing to you. And the second thing is for you to get clear on. Because the reason this has persisted for 5 years is there's been no consequences for her. Just exactly. Like you go, can you please do this? And she goes, sure. And then kind of, and then she still has her job. Like what's,
mm-hmm.
and one type of consequence is, okay, I'm not sure about this dynamic. I don't feel it's working. I'd like to make it work for you. So we need to go into an evaluation period. Over the next 2 months, this is what I'd like to see happen. At the end of those 2 months, we'll come back together and see how that was. And then, you know, we can each have the option to say it's not working. There has to be some consequence, or the person's just like, no, I'd rather do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have no leverage if you're not willing to have some sort of consequence. Either they don't get a bonus at the end of the year, they don't get a raise, they don't have their job anymore, their hours are cut back. Like, I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
something needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If the parent is like, I'm going to come back and this room better be clean in an hour, or what?
Right.
Yeah. So that's just what I just did, was just deconstructed the elements of what's involved here.
Yeah.
So if you want, we can talk about like your exact thing and what to say to her and blah, 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 blah. Like your specifics now.
Oh no, I think this is good because this is very different than how it's been going. I really have a feeling if I brought up an evaluation period, she would just quit right there. She would like not want to bother with mm-hmm. that. And mm-hmm. then, but really what I need to do, I think I mostly need help with finding a new person because
like
I
it.
Need to have someone available that I feel better about
mm-hmm.
so that I can make a transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so with this new, we teach people how to treat us. Her mm-hmm. that she has a long leash and she can keep her job defying you for
using
an inflammatory word. But like, so this next person, when you bring them on,
mm-hmm.
you want to start from the beginning of like, mm-hmm. this is what I am hiring you to be my conduit of communication. Mm-hmm. But you're not a mediator between the two of us. You're my eyes and ears and voice.
Mm-hmm.
Raquel?
I just wanted to say one thing. And she's also not an advocate, because it sounds like she's advocating for the tenants instead of for you.
Right. I would like her to be my advocate.
But your advocate, not their advocate.
Right.
Yeah. So just make this very clear with the next person. This is what I'm looking for. Do you foresee any problem? And then red flag, you just address it. And you can ask someone like, I don't think it'll be a very fruitful conversation with her, but you could certainly ask someone like, okay, so I noticed that when I said we were going to, you know, have this price increase, you came back with some issues that you felt the tenants were, but I'm not really, I'm set on this decision. So what is bothering you about the dynamic of your job that you feel you need to come back at me? It gives them a chance to be like, oh, but it's so hard. You know, people are, they're having a hard time and, you know, they just lost their job and, oh, I just feel for them. That allow, once you get to what's underneath and motivating the person to come back to you advocating for the tenants, your job as their boss is to lead them through a way of shifting their perspective around this. And you go, I know. This is a difficult thing to do, to balance being able to keep the property running and afloat and the funds that are needed for that, and the fact that some people aren't necessarily able to, you know, have that right now. And it can be difficult to look at, but I need you to certainly be kind to them, but facilitate me doing my business. And if you feel like it's just too difficult emotionally for you to do this,
yeah,
that's fine.
I see that. I think she's so invested in being a conduit that it's almost like when she's selling a property, she would go back and forth.
Yeah, I'm not talking about her.
Okay.
I'm talking about a new person that you bring on.
Mm-hmm.
If they, the first time they do the same thing that she does, if they do it, you have to have a conversation with them below. Just, I don't want you to do this, because there's something motivating them to come back. Go, oh, but Karen, it's like the unit number two and the people and the thing. And it's like, okay, well, what's underneath that? Because some people are super sensitive, or they have a big heart, and they just aren't, that's not the right role for them. You know, like some people just shouldn't be in customer service. There are certain roles that people, there are lots of roles I should not be filling. Customer service is one of them. Like, I've got no time, no time for that. You know, like my personality would be a bad fit. But you need, as a boss, to go underneath and go, what's the real problem here? So that we can shift this so that they can then do the job.
Yeah, it almost feels too far gone with
her. Person. Yes. Yeah. No, not her. I'm talking about the next.
Okay.
That's how you do it with the next person. First red flag, you go, what's happening underneath? The first red flag, the first time something goes on. It's like, what's going on with you? What are you thinking? What emotion fueled this decision to come back to me with this information that I do not want?
Okay, thank you. I would love to connect in this community with other people who are landlords and working.
I would post in the open forum, and maybe also post in cash flow, but post in the open forum and go, Hey, I'd like to just talk to anybody who, you know, cause I'm looking for a new person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to get other people's experiences,
yeah,
mm-hmm, and support. Mm-hmm. So, because it's the first time I'm doing this, and
yeah, it would be fun. Know, like if I was a part, if I were in your shoes in something like Abundance Bound, because there's definitely people mm-hmm. in here who are doing real estate and stuff, mm-hmm. I would just have like a little list of the people. Like, oh, here's some Abundance Bound people who are doing the real estate thing, so we can all just check in with each other if we have questions, like a little subgroup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. Thank you.
Good question. Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else? I have a question from Regina, but I don't know if she's going to pop in later. So I'm going to wait to answer that.
I have just something to share.
Please.
I found a little day job that's perfect for me. So I feel like it's going to help pull me out of survival mode. And I feel like this was made for me because I worked in higher ed for 10 years and they needed someone temporarily in a career services office at the community college here for part-time. The pay is high, but it's doing basically what I did as a work study student 20 years ago. And so I'm like, this is great. And it's half the time just sitting at the front desk there and half the time here at home. So 20 hours a week. Yeah. And the pay is fantastic. So I feel like I saw that and applied and went, thank you. This is what I need. And it's temporary through the end of June. So yeah.
I love jobs where I was employed just to sit somewhere. I'm like, good. I can do all my own stuff. Oh my gosh. And where did you see it? How did you hear about it?
I just found it on their website. I thought I'd look and see if there was anything. And I was like, I feel like I'm moving backward into the career I had before. And then I was like, this is temporary. And they're asking for someone with my skill set and experience. And I don't know that many people around here that have that want something temporary. So yeah, it just sort of fell into my lap, I guess. And I started on Wednesday. So far I've done watching training videos on harassment and chemicals yes. in the workplace, and I start the job this week. So
yes, I've watched some of those too. That's great. And I'm so glad you shared that, because it's really important for people to hear that sometimes the right thing is just out there. Like, you can get what you want. You can get what you want. You can get the thing. It's out there. The right people are out there. The right help is out there. People are looking for someone like you. And this story, because it is just a story. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going backwards because I'm looking for something in a field I used to work in. When we need money, that's where we go. What have I done before? What skill sets do I have? What strengths do I have? Like, what experience do I have? Yeah, that's where some money lies. So it's not a step back. It's you utilizing the resources you already have and the experience and knowledge you already have. So you don't have to learn anything new. That's the other benefit about this job, aside from, you know, chemicals in the workplace. You don't have to learn anything new. You get it. You know the environment. You know the drill. It's like, that is the perfect little job-jobby support income. Because you don't want to spend any energy learning something new if you don't have to. Congratulations. That's a huge victory.
Thanks. Just yeah. writing down, like, I calculated how much I'd make and when the paycheck's coming in, and just that, it's like, I just have so much more mental space to go, oh, okay, my brain can now move on to the creative work instead of freaking out all day.
I can hear it in your voice.
Hmm.
I can hear the energy in your voice and the uplift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had been worried about finding something that was just going to suck me dry, and this right. I can do in my sleep. So
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I encourage everyone, like when you're out there, if you are looking for like a job, just money. Just ask the universe and go, okay, here's what we want. Can't suck me dry. Can't have a huge commute. Like it has to be like super easy to weave into my life. Good people who aren't going to drain me, and something that doesn't take a lot of power, brain power. That's what I want. Get on it. I will do my part in looking around, but please, you do your part in having this, the, you know, making the arrangements and having it all fall into place. You can get what you want. And what helps you to get what you want is just believing it's possible. Yeah, there's a job out there for me that will work for my life. I don't have to fit myself into, I don't have to keep squeezing my life into the world. The world can bend a little to come my way. I believe that's possible.
I don't think I shared this, but a few weeks ago, I had a job interview and had a panic attack in the middle, and it was on Zoom. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I just can't do this anymore. And it was just, I think my tendency is to blame myself and beat myself up. But I just went, I can tell what you want from me is going to suck me dry. And this job doesn't pay. This job I just got pays double what that other one did. And the other one, I just was like, they're asking me questions and my brain's just going, I don't even want to figure out how to formulate an answer to this. And then I was like, what is wrong with me? I used to teach college classes on job interviewing. And I'm like, I can't do this. Sorry. Hang up in the middle of the call and just, you know, and I wrote them a thank you note, but I just was like, it was like, I was trying to cram myself into this thing. Cause I know you needed my help and this doesn't pay, but I need the money. And this other one just sort of, it was easy. It was like, I allowed it to come instead of trying to cram.
Yep. Yeah. You just want to follow the flow, follow the ease. I remember distinctly this one period in my life. I was working with the first assistant I had, who also happened to be a coach. I talk about another thing where it's like the perfect person. And after we parted ways amicably, she was just moving on to something else. I was like, how am I ever, ever in a million years going to find an assistant that's as good as she was? She was amazing. And I was like, but there has to be somebody out there. She was out there. So there has to be somebody else out there. And I found Rachel. And I was like, I can't believe you're great. I got another great part. Like, wow, it was so great. But anyway, when I was working with my first assistant, we were working on this project and it was going horribly. It just was so hard. And I felt like I was just being blocked at every turn that I was trying to do this. And it was so frustrating. And I had put so much time into it already. And then one day I called her and I was like, okay, I just need to talk this through, because this isn't working. And I don't understand why suddenly this is so difficult for me. I've done other things similar in the past. I don't understand why this is not working. And by the end of the conversation, it was just sort of like, oh, this isn't the way we're supposed to do it at all. It could be so much easier if we approached it like this. And then once we kind of clicked in to the way it needed to be in the world, it went really easy. So sometimes I'm just saying this to say, not to say as in like, hey guys, here's a piece of knowledge that you've never considered before. I'm saying it as a reminder to us all that sometimes when we're being thwarted or we're having an anxiety attack in the middle of an interview that we quote unquote should be able to do, it's because our bodies, the universe, our gut, our soul, our knowing is like, yeah, this isn't the, can you please stop going down this path? This isn't the path for you. And it was your body and your gut was being so efficient with you. It's like, oh, we don't even want you to finish this interview. Like, how do we get her to like cut this? This isn't good. Oh, we'll just make her feel really uncomfortable, really anxious. That'll get her. Okay. And you heard and you responded and you were like, let's just not waste our time.
Yeah.
It's great.
And then just Saturday. Yeah. My friend finished her MFA in directing and was asked to direct this play. And she wants me to be the dialect coach. And I feel like now I can be the person with the bandwidth to do it. Just like, now the opportunities can come and I'm open. I'm available. I'm open emotionally and mentally. Yeah. So.
Can we all just pause? Can we all just pause and hear what Liz just said and not dismiss it as luck? Oh, well, that's a coincidence. You got yourself a lovely, non-draining support gig that pays well. And an opportunity for what exactly you want to do fell into your lap. It's not a coincidence. And I say that with such assurance because I've just seen this too many times. I am completely unsurprised by this thing. You did the work of finding a way to free up your bandwidth, your mental energy, space for your creativity. And the universe was like, yes, you heard us in that interview and you acted swiftly and you looked for this job. You followed whatever little hint of inspiration we sent for you to like, look at this website, and you did. And then you apply, you took all this action and you freed up all this space. And we're like, now we can deliver this wonderful thing and enjoy watching you be happy and being able to run with it. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Good work though. Good work, Liz. You shifted your own energy and your own circumstances and created the space.
Yeah. It feels like for a long time, I was just try harder to relax so you can do this creative work. Try harder to relax. No, I just need to reconstruct things so that I can relax. But I think there is a relaxation and an allowing instead of a forcing. Really helps.
You know what's relaxing? Space. Space is relaxing. The minute I feel myself putting my hand around my own throat, because, you know, in my business, I'm the one making all the deadlines. I'm the one making like this plan is going to happen in this amount of time. That's just all me. The minute it starts to feel like this, and I feel like I'm choking myself, it's like, how do I make space? How do I make space? What do I push? I need room. Room is what makes everything work. And when you can't make physical room or you can't make circumstantial room, you make mental room by shifting your stories around this and this and this and using language that's not as inflammatory and just calming your mind down. Because mental space can go a long way when even your circumstances feel tight. You know, there's deadlines that aren't self-imposed and physical space, mental space is where you can just ride on that. But you, by getting your own office, made physical space. And now by getting this job, you've opened up circumstantial space with your income, and that gave you mental space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. It made my day. Regina, let's talk. So Regina is a cash flow cat, and her business is Peaceful Pets, Reiki and Crystal Energy Sessions for pets and their humans and the spaces they share. Victory report. Hey, you set up time to talk to that holistic organizer and it was a great chat. And they're like, come talk to our group. And you're like, okay. And you wrote in here, she said they had no budget to pay me, but honestly, I feel there's an equal enough energy exchange to have the opportunity to practice presenting and speaking about this work and the importance of a holistic ingredient to a client's recipe for more clarity and calm in their lives. Music to my ears. And that this is also a form of marketing to possible funnel people. 100%. First of all, congratulations for having that conversation and for it leading to a speaking engagement. And yeah, not even just like when you're starting, but for a good long while, things like speaking engagements, when you are being, you know, introduced to a new group of people. Oh yeah, it's free. I don't get paid, you know, when I speak on a podcast, I'm doing it for free because it's like, ooh, good marketing. It is only after you've reached a certain level of expertise where someone invites you to talk and it's not actually worth the marketing for you. Like you don't need it as a marketing thing. So then you just request it as an income thing, but that's always way down the road. So yes, I'm so happy you just were like, yep, sounds like a win-win situation here. So you're like, how do I fill 90 minutes, 1 hour presentation, 30 minutes Q&A? Oh, that was like a question. Okay. We'll talk about that. But before we go into that,
yeah,
you had a second question about, you have a funnel person, mm-hmm, who has been talking to you about like, oh, maybe we could do this, or maybe we could do this. Lost her nearest and dearest pet. So she's grieving, and that's been like her first kind of quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. And you're sort of like, ooh, what do I do? Do I bring this up? When's the time? Is now the time? I think you have really good instincts.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to know,
yeah,
when the right time is, but just in general, when you feel something has happened in somebody's life or something, mm-hmm, has happened, mm-hmm, and you're like, ooh, but I have this piece of business to kind of, I want to remind them of, or I want to kind, right, of keep that going. All you have to do is say, hey, I was thinking about you today, and I really hope, you know, your heart is finding its way back to some peace. Please take your time with this. This is by no means urgent. I just wanted to let you know that I'm still interested. When you feel the time is right for those things we were talking about, mm-hmm, this and this and this, mm-hmm, sending love.
That's great.
Because it accomplishes the main goal of just going, I am still interested, because we haven't talked, mm-hmm, about this for 4 months. So right, just, right, you know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So yeah. So you have 90 minutes.
She said 1 hour presentation, and then they do 30 minutes of Q&A at the end. And in my head, I was already like, well, but we're going to come back around to something else after that Q&A. Like,
that's what, right.
What did you all, what's your biggest takeaway, y'all?
Or whatever. Oh my gosh. Regina is referring to the chapter in the Creating Cashflow course where I talk about speaking engagements and how to structure them. And the most important thing is, I think the number one piece of advice is, don't end with Q&A, because that last person that gets up to speak could be just a nutter butter who either goes on and on, doesn't really have a question, is very contentious, and it just sort of peters out and is like, okay, guys, well, thanks for coming. It's just, you can end on dead energy and you never want that. You want people to go out going, that was worth my time. She's lovely. That was good energy. So now here's the thing, guys. When you go to speak engagement and someone says to you, okay, this is how we do it. We do an hour and then we do 30 minutes of Q&A. You can go, that's fantastic. And then do it however you want.
Okay.
You are leading through this presentation. They're organizers. Of course, they're going to have a structure and a framework. That's great. So what you do is you do your presentation and you time it around, like you want to kind of watch the clock in like 50 minutes. Okay. And then you go, now you just, you're not deferring to anybody. The energy is energy of leadership. Okay. So we're going to go into 30 minutes of Q&A. You're watching the clock. When that 30 minutes is up, you switch. Now, I like to end like this. I want to know, so who, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Things you're going to learn how to get good at. And you only learn them by doing it. Leadership energy. Switching, making a transition from like, here's the presentation part, here's Q&A. And now we're switching to the thing I want to do for the last 10 minutes. You're going to get better and better at being able to like switch the energy to the next segment of the talk. The other thing you're going to get good at is nipping people in the bud. Mm-hmm. Because when you have that final question and you have 2 more minutes before you need to switch over to the last 10 minutes, your job is to figure out how to handle that person and the question so they feel good and not like you're cutting them off, but you want to get them through it so that you have a moment to answer. And you, when you first do this, you might feel like, oh my God, I'm being so awkward. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, they're going to feel so awful that I have to interrupt them. But you've seen me do this before with people where it's like, okay, let me stop you here. I want to say something before we go on, or let me stop. I think what you're saying is da-da-da, right? Okay. Da-da-da. Or you know what? This is a bigger question than we have time for right now, but let me give you one piece of advice. Here's the thing I would like you to start thinking about. You just stop them. I have had years, hours, and 10,000 hours of leading groups and facilitating conversations. And I had to learn how to do it. And it didn't felt weird at first. And sometimes I didn't. And sometimes I biffed it. And sometimes the only reason I know not to end on Q&A is because I did lots of speeches where we ended on Q&A. And a few of those is like, well, that didn't work. What wasn't like, so I've done the awkward, awful, dumb things, you know, so you're going to do some things too that don't work out seamlessly. Mm-hmm. Fine. But you have to be brave and go, well, this is a great place to practice. And if I'm not brave enough to practice these things, I won't get better at them eventually. So yeah, this is exciting. And 50, so it's really 50 minutes of content,
yeah.
30 minutes of Q&A, 10 minutes of the ending. And if you have a sense that the person who's facilitating this is, you know how people have like strict energy where it's like, okay, so Regina, so what we're going to do is I'll just watch the clock. And at the thing minute mark, I will tell you it's time to switch into Q&A. And then you say to that person, that's great. However, I would like you to do that 50 minutes into the thing because I want to do the full 30 minute Q&A like your group expects, but I want to do a little thing at the end. It's going to take 10 minutes. You tell them, you lead this person.
Okay.
And if they feel from you like you know what you're doing,
yeah,
don't relax. The only reason they're kind of ka-ka-ka-ka-ka is A, they're an organizer, but also like they just want to make sure it goes smoothly. And as long as they're like, this will go smoothly, then they'll be like, okay, sounds like she knows what she's doing. Let's see. And then you manage the time. You are in charge of the time and you look like an expert when you finish on time. Not going over and not speeding up to get all the stuff in before it's the worst. So 50 minutes of content isn't, that's not a lot of time. That's like 3 concepts. Introduce the concept. Like, I don't know what you're going to talk about. Here's one concept about that. Now, let me tell you a little story about a client of mine that illustrates that. It's always good to let them know you have clients. Yeah. And if you don't have a client story, you just make it up and you go, well, I was working with one of my clients and you've got to do it. You've got to do. And then, because they need to know you work with clients. This is you doing this talk for free for marketing. Yeah. So you got to get the marketing into it.
Right.
So, yeah. So then you tell a little story because people remember stories. They connect emotionally to stories instead of just lecture. I've done those. I had to learn about story, but it was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Tell a little story about it. And then give them a little takeaway. So here's the concept of, like, I'm just going to make this up. So when your animal is acting like this, one of the things that they're experiencing is this. So putting your hand on them and just synchronizing your breathing together will do this and this and this. That's the concept, the little hand on the thing. Then you tell, like, there was this one time, or you can say, you know, now what if you have one of those little yippy, or you have a cat and you're like, they're under the couch. It's hot. You can't. So you can synchronize you can go into little stories about clients where it worked or it didn't work. Or when you have a trouble, an animal that doesn't want to cooperate, little story, and then go. So next time you're sensing this with your animal, you don't even have to approach your animal. I want you to start noticing your breathing first. And I want you to start rhythmically breathing yourself. And then notice how that may have shifted the energy. Okay, so that's like, oh, okay, right. Okay, so now, okay, rhythm, okay. And then you go into, so the second thing I want to talk about today is this concept, little illustration, takeaway. Three of those, that's your 50 minutes. Then okay. Questions. And then, okay, what did you get? What had made this worthwhile for you guys being here today? That's it. That's your talk.
Okay.
Yeah. It is so much better for them to come away with one or two or three little things they can try or feel like they can try, even if they never do it. Then, okay, I'm going to go through like the top 10 things and blah, 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 blah. It's too much.
Yeah.
You don't need to teach everything you know. Marketing wise, this talk is about them going, oh, she really knows stuff. I bet she can really do what she says she does. That's it. So you want... And it speakers think that what's going to make people come to that conclusion of, wow, I like her. And she, I bet she can really do what she does, is wowing them with information.
Right.
But it's not, it's leadership energy.
Mm.
It's letting them know you work with clients and people and you have stories. You've done this before in mm-hmm. some way. It doesn't mean you've done it before because someone paid you to do it before. You could have just done it before. I used to force my sister into letting me organize her room. I'm talking when I was like 14. That was my idea of a fun Saturday, and she hated it. But I learned a lot of things from her resistance, and so I could then say in a speaking engagement, you know, I've worked with people before who blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
It was my 8-year-old sister, but it, like, so can share things about people you've worked with and clients, and they can be your friends and family who've never paid you a dime. You're just pulling stories from your experience.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
So people are come away with the feeling of like, oh, I like her. And she really knows what she's doing by your leadership energy. You letting them know, yeah, I've done this before. Like if you hire me, you're not going to be my first rodeo. So don't worry. And you're giving them, you're not overwhelming them. They don't feel stuffed to the gills. There's spaciousness, and you're giving them something that they can take away. That's what convinces them that you're an expert, not you sharing everything you know about the subject.
Okay.
And the energy of that you really love this, that you really love it and you know it works and you love doing it. And that you're really like, I love being, when I do speaking engagements, when I used to do them like with actors, when it's, I'm just going to coach Q&A. It's just going to be all Q&A basically, the whole thing. I usually start with like, I love being in this room. I love being in a room with people who are working on achieving something. Like, I love being here with you because I know that you're that and I respect that. So I'm so excited to be talking about this. I lead with like, you, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I lead with like, I am happy to be here because I love talking about this and seeing little light bulbs go on above people's heads. That's the kind of energy that people are like, oh, she's an expert. So when does this happen? Do you have a date yet?
No, but it's, they do one every, like the fourth Wednesday of every month. So
exciting. So how does all that feel to you?
Yep, that all feels pretty good. And I'll just do it as long as I have some direction. Thank you. I will go ahead and we'll just, I'm going to surrender everything else. Like, hopefully I'll just practice a little and look at the time. And
so I want to draw a through line for people listening to this. Regina got this speaking engagement because I recommended to her, I think organizers would be a fruitful, because they have clients. So they would be able to pass you on to their clients because their whole purpose of their job is to reduce the chaotic energy in a home. And you reduce chaotic energy in homes too, but you don't do what they do. But your clients obviously have some chaotic energy in their home. So a fruitful group of funnel people. And so Regina went to the National Association of Professional Organizers website and was just like, okay, I'm going to start reaching out cold. She could say in her emails, you know, a former professional organizer suggested I do, like she, but my name, people don't know who I am in that world anymore. I'm not in it. So it's not like she used my name and she just cold emailed organizers and found one of her right people who were like, oh my God, I love what you do. Come speak to our group. Regina did this. Regina made this happen. I suggested it to her, but she ran with it. And I just want to point out that sometimes it works, you guys. Sometimes just reaching out, you know, and keep reaching out to fruitful groups. Who knows? But she did, this is something that didn't fall into her lap. She went out and went for it. So huge victory. And I love it both ways. I love it when you go out and get it. And I love it when it falls into your lap. And the more energy you are like, I'm going to go out and do what I can do while I'm waiting for the universe, the more the universe sees you, oh, she said she wanted this and she's actually doing something to get it. Oh, okay. She's serious. They just want to know you're serious about it. Because we sit there all day going, I want this and I want this. And they're like, well, which one are you really serious about? I mean, before we throw our weight behind this. But once they see you doing stuff, they're like, oh, okay, she's serious. Well, let's make that happen. Who else? We have some time. And if it's just a victory, I'd love to hear it.
Victory.
Tell me, hybrid.
Hi.
The victory, just the hi guys, hybrid. That I did my short film reading and I took the steps that you suggested. And it just feels really good to just focus on the steps. And because I've been working out like 10, 15 minutes at a time, I'm an adrenaline junkie. So it's kind of anticlimactic in that it didn't have a lot of adrenaline to it because there was no last minute, you know, drama. And then now, like the next phase of it is taking the notes I got because I also recorded it and putting it in because I, you know, it's art and the old message on the side's like, oh,
Ruthie?
That's done.
Ruthie, okay. What you're saying is really important, but it's garbly. You're, yeah.
You guys hear me now?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so good.
Just repeat that.
I can't really hear you.
Quickly.
That's okay.
You did a reading for your short film script.
I'm back.
Yes, you did a reading for your short film script. And because you chipped away at the project, it didn't have this like, rush of adrenaline. Oh, I'm putting together this thing and the thing and the thing. And now you're going to take the feedback that you got from it. And that's where we left off.
Yes, thank you. And so now with the feedback, because it's over, the story again of, well, that's done. You have other things to catch up on that are more important than that. So move on. You know, and this is just historically, I've then not done anything with the feedback or, you know, not whatever. So it's just like the new, what I admire about Regina having done what she did, I would have had so many stories about, they're not gonna, why am I, you know, the stories are what get in the way. So I'm very conscious of now the next phase, no stories, just follow through with no drama, no adrenaline, just the next action. But that's my win that it, thank you, it happened.
Yeah. And did you notice anything that you would take away from the experience of like, oh, I was able to do that without the drama around it?
Yes. Well, always thinking of you and how I can make it easier in my fantasy, I wanted to then record it, pre-record it so I can watch it. So, because it's a keynote presentation with visuals and that was going to take time. And I was like, is that really important? Is that the easiest way to do it? No, the easiest way would be for me to read it, stumble, whatever. And it's among friends and thinking this is a workspace. This is not a performance space. I make it performance. I make it perfection required. I do that. So having the, like just that, the experience of you're making yourself crazy. How would Christine make this easier? Is like my mantra. So thank you.
Yes. And what's important for folks to hear is that what this project was, the goal, what Ruthie wanted from this was, oh, I want feedback from trusted sources on this creative project that I'm developing. Okay. So then my brain is like, okay, well, how do you get that feedback that you want with the least amount of effort? Like, what's the easiest way to get that feedback? And what happens sometimes with perfectionism is you can get distracted from what the actual result you want and go, oh no, the purpose of this is a perfect presentation. And the only way to get what I want is with a perfect presentation. And that just, then the goal starts to become the perfection of the presentation when it's like, no, the goal is the feedback. The goal is the feedback. So what's the minimal effective dose, what's the least amount of effort that you need to do in order to give this people the information they need to give you the feedback you want. So, and not get distracted from the thing that you're going for. Well done, lady. That's
it. Thank you. And it just reminds me, just doing what is actually necessary. That's, you know, staying focused on that. And also what also helped, I didn't have to send out that many emails because I sent it to each individual why I invited them, and that, and even like the reminders, same thing. It's tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And everyone, I had 10 people or 11 people. So thank you.
That's an important point. If you are looking to get some help from people, I find that it's, you get a better response if you send individual emails to each person, because when you BCC or group something, the tendency, because we're all busy, is to just be like, oh, well, somebody else will respond to that. Where it's like, oh, she's inviting me. She thought of me, and she's even telling me why she thought of me and what I would be able to contribute in her mind to this. And this is a specific invitation to me. Oh, well, now I'm going to really think about it, versus just like she added me to a list of, I don't know how many people. So hopefully somebody will respond to her. And there's a little, it's harder. It's so much easier to just kind of let a BCC email or just a list of like, oh, I'm one of 20 sit in my inbox more than like Ruthie sent me an email. It's like, oh, okay, well, I need to respond to Ruthie. It's just a one-to-one, and that carries so much more weight. So that's just a little like communications tip there. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine. Yes.
Anybody else? Britt, hi.
Hi. So I have a little win to share. I went on Kelly Clarkson and I painted her face from afar.
From afar. Oh, it's so beautiful.
And I also did Eric Stone Street, who was there.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So it was a huge hit.
Do you just take their picture? Like,
I just use their picture. Like, I did it all beforehand.
Oh, okay.
And I just use a picture I found that was approved by them, and they projected it in the back, and it was great. It was like a great way to sort of talk about a lot of things that I care about. And then I also want to, I'm going on Drew Barrymore this week, and I'm just so excited to meet her. And I have a tiny question, which is I've decided I'm going to launch my film on my own website as opposed to putting it on someone else's platform. I'll be using Vimeo, and someone's going to basically embed the Vimeo link into my website. And the sort of fun thing that I lobbed to the producers at Drew Barrymore is that when Drew and I make like a high five, that's when the film will drop on my website. And I don't know what's going to happen about like I don't know if we're going to talk about it with Drew, but I'm going to like tee it up on the social media. Basically, like when I make contact with Drew, that's when the film will launch. I'm just wondering if there's anything I'm not thinking of yet that's like, just like how to tease that out with social media. It's just like every day, like get ready, it's about to come. I don't know. Is there any language that you can think of that would be an easy way to convey that it's coming out on Friday? And then it'll be available streaming for free for like, I think we'll do 3 or 4 weeks. Essentially, like while I'm doing all of this press for Severance, I want it to be out in the world so that people can find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people, speaking for myself, I love like behind the scenes stuff. So the thing that's happening, the impetus to kind of share this on social media is you're having two big things happen on one day. It's like, so one post could be something like, it's always amazing when something big happens in your life. But then when two big things happen on the same day, you know, it could, you know, gives the girl a well, you're going to do this in your way, but you know, like it really gets a girl's heart aflutter or whatever. So mm-hmm. no, this Friday is that day for me. And you don't even have to say what it is. Then the next day you're like, okay, I found the shoes that I'm going to wear on Drew Barrymore. I've chosen the shoes. I can't believe I'm going on her show. And it's on the same day that my film drops, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, then the next day it's like three reasons I'm super excited to be on this particular show. Drew Barrymore has always held a place, like three things about Drew that, you know, that are, you guys are connected to in some way. And then maybe a post about just like, what is it? Just a little tidbit just about like, what is it like to like be someone who's now going on these kind of shows and doing this level of press? Like, what is that like? I'm sure so many people are like, what is that like? I don't know what that's like. I've never been on like a big show where they're just talking about a project I'm doing, you know? And then maybe you could do a post on like,
and by post, I probably will put it on my stories, not on my,
yeah, whatever, wall. Like however you're sharing, but like little things like I've picked my ring, I've picked the shoes, you know, do you think I should do this or that? Like, which ring do you think? Like you can do polls or, you know, like just involve them with this whole, like, what are you feeling about this happening? And just bring us into like, what's going on in your head? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to meet Drew Barrymore because I remember being 8 years old and watching the film and and like, just what's going on in your head?
Totally.
And how it's amazing that you are getting this opportunity to share this project that a lot of folks have put their heart and soul into that you're playing a part of, but then you also get on the same, you know, at the same time, you're bringing something that came from you out into the world. Mm. And this is what every artist wants, to be able to be doing their work and to be contributing to other people's work. And you're so grateful that you're able to do this at this juicy moment in your life.
I like that.
Stuff like that. Like I would do like kind of behind the scenes-y mm-hmm. stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quite great.
Yeah. And then in the captions, it just gives you an opportunity to be like, the film will drop here. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the point is, the other thing that we're going to launch on the website is we're going to announce that the film itself will eventually be available as a part of an NFT project. So parts of the film, and we haven't worked out all the details yet, so it's going to be a little bit vague in the description, but it's just going to say like, coming soon, an NFT project based on this project is coming out. And essentially like the next few weeks, people will be able to watch it. And then eventually it'll be available to, like, pieces will be available to purchase.
I'm just saying this because it just came into my head, but like those portraits that you did of Kelly and Eric, would you be able to sell them as NFTs for Eric's favorite charity and Kelly's favorite charity?
That's like a good
idea. Get permission from them to sell it as an NFT with the money just going, all proceeds going directly to wherever they wanted to go.
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, definitely. And part of what I'm going to do with the NFT project is a portion. What's really cool, I'm just like just learning about NFTs, but what's really cool about them is that they carry a residual. So the way that you can make it in the blockchain is that I could have 10% go to my DP, 10% goes to the editor, 10% goes to a charity of my choice, 10% goes to, you know, the future project of Circus Person. And in perpetuity, if someone sells that NFT, you get a piece of that sale.
Okay.
That's why it's so amazing for artists, because it keeps a residual effect. And I'm excited about
rather
the
than
idea of this being egalitarian, where it's like the film itself isn't just mine, like all these people worked on it.
Yeah.
And for them to be able to, you know, benefit off of it, and charity too.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Versus like, I make a piece of art and I sell it to you, but when you resell it for more later, I don't really get a piece of that.
Right.
Mm, that's true. Super never thought about that.
Mm. Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, I mean, because you have those portraits, and then it would give you, as you're getting into the NFT space, it gives you more to talk about for that. Because I could see somebody wanting to interview you with your work being secondary and just sort of like, oh, she's like this, you know, up and coming breakthrough artist who's also like all into this stuff. And
I know they asked me on Drew if I could bring my face paint. And I was like, my publicist has told me to like kind of cool it on the face painting for just a little. So like, maybe in October I'll come back on the show and do like a Halloween something, you know, and I can teach Drew how to face paint.
And if by October you figured out the whole NFT charity thing, that could be kind of the reason she's doing it.
Yeah.
We're going to do that, because there's got to be one person out in the world who's a Drew Barrymore fan and a Brett Lower fan and is like, would have their mind blown having this thing that you did of her. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a really great, it's like the NFT piece of it is really starting to make a lot of sense. I know that there was an artist recently who released like 20 versions of something that were an NFT, and all the proceeds went to Ukraine, you know? So it's a way to really, to raise funds for.
And I think that what you just explained to us, like the residual thing, I didn't know that could be possible. That also, I think, is an interesting talking point. I'm just thinking like sound bites and talking points of like that. And that you are a person who wants everyone involved in a collaborative project to, you know, be able to benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And what you might consider is putting a portion aside to go to a charity that would reduce the carbon footprint that the NFT, like planting trees or something like that. So that you're even, that gets you around what we talked about before of like, oh yeah, this has an issue about the energy expenditure. But if you can use that
That's interesting
thing to kind of acknowledge, but say, you know, we're reducing that.
Totally. I love that. Oh, and Ruthie, what you said too, the first X people who watch or share, tweet the movie will be a part of a drawing to win getting a piece of art from you.
Oh,
that's interesting. Yeah. There's the ways to like, just make NFTs that are like, I watched, and you get an NFT that says, it's so bonk. I haven't wrapped all my head around it. So basically Friday is going to be the like, we're just going to drop the film. We're not going to launch the NFT project yet because it takes so much infrastructure, but just to tease out that it eventually will be, you know, available as this kind of like online circus space.
I love it. I'm so happy that it was a hit on the face painting on Kelly.
Yeah,
that she really responded well.
Yeah. It felt like she was into it, and it was great. Like, I didn't put anything up on my website because I was like, yeah, but like, I can't like sell these, but that's a great idea that I could offer them as NFTs to Eric and to Kelly to give to a charity of their choice. I think that's so smart.
Yeah. And you can facilitate the whole process for them. Like, so they don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just like buy in of like, yeah. And you're like, you don't have to publicize it. This is just a way.
Just a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so great. What a smart idea. Thank you so much. I always get some little like great gem here.
Keep this brain working. Eat my vegetables. All right, guys. Thank you. If you haven't caught Britt on Severance, I highly recommend it. Oh my God, you're blowing
great job, Britt.
It. Blowing it away. It's so good. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so proud of it. I'm so glad I get to be Helly. She's such a badass.
You're like, no. I just love it every time you're like, yeah, I'm not interested.
She's a good model for like, you know, not letting something pass that doesn't like feel right. Like she's just all id.
Yes. But it's like, I can just see, you know, workers everywhere, like office workers everywhere, just being like, oh, if only I could just be like, yeah, hard pass on the office party. So great. So great. All right. Take care, guys. Bye, thank everyone. You. Great session.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye. Talk to you on Sunday.
Thank you.